Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. You can check him out at PFF_Mike. That's PFF_Mike on Twitter. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mike, how you been?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us. So let me ask you this. When it comes to the combine, now you guys do all the analytics. So when it comes to the combine, is there anything specific that you look to come out of the combine, or is it just verification of the numbers that you thought it was?
No, the combine, as much as it gets bagged on, it does have actual value in terms of at certain positions, not every position, but specifically, pass rusher and the analytics and data scientists that we have on staff have done like studies about, you know, projecting college to the NFL, and they will be altered, especially edge rushers are probably the most in terms of how the projection to the NFL gets altered. But they will be altered by what the numbers say here in Indy this week. The testing numbers, the athleticism numbers, do actually matter to some degree. The guys who are freak athletes, off the edge, are guys who have that, you know, higher perceived upside. They can improve, and they can translate better at the next level than maybe they did in college. Because, and it's kind of like, think about the drills here. You know, the broad jump, the vertical is kind of like getting off the line of scrimmage. The three cone is, you know, you turning around the corner. So I do think that it is very projectable to what you do here is what you do off the edge in the NFL.
So now I want to ask you, because we had a lot of talk and a lot of chatter when we were down at Super Bowl about all the numbers and about the Green Bay Packers coming out of their season. Now that it's all said and done, we believe, and if you agree, let me know, but we believe you need a wide receiver that's probably a veteran. You need a maybe top two round wide receiver to kind of help out. I wonder what they're going to get once they cut Jimmy Graham loose over the tight end position. You can never have too many good running backs. The right tackle position has to be solidified, and they need more beef up front, and they need a middle linebacker that can cover. Is that about right?
Yeah, that seemed like a lot of needs, and it's a good roster, but I definitely think the two big ones are linebacker and wide receiver. Like wide receiver getting some speed, just anyone else on that roster that, you know, Aaron Rodgers basically can trust and will go to. It's a huge need, and it really cost them at times over the course of the last season.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How much do you think – let's start with the wide receiver position. I know it's deep. There's a lot of wide receivers that are coming into this draft. But as far as the depth versus elite, what is the difference? How big of a difference is there?
So I think there's like a top tier two guys being CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, and those two guys are – you know, best wide receiver prospect, both of them, in terms of like actually what we saw on the field, since at least probably Amari Cooper. So it's been 5 years since we've seen prospects like Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb. You can debate whether they're better than Cooper or not, but like those guys are surefire kind of studs from day one. Then after that, I think you have probably got five or six more guys that any other year over the past 4 or 5 years could have been the number one wide receiver draft. Like this, that's how good this wide receiver class is. And so I think one of those, you know, that next tier will be on the board when the Packers are picking at the bottom end of the first round, just because there are so many. Like, there are so many guys in this class that, you know, there aren't a lot of tackles. There aren't a lot of linebackers. Those guys probably get pushed up boards because they know in the second, third rounds, I'm not going to find a guy close to what I can get in the first round. The wide receiver, there's going to be some guys, you know, in the second rounds. I mean, even like we saw last year when DK goes late second, A.J. Brown goes second, Terry McLaurin goes in the third, that are legit dudes, but they get pushed down because other positions don't have the depth.
Also wanted to ask you, when we talk about the Packers and the tight end position, is this a tight end deep draft as well? Because they picked up Jay Sternberger last year, but he didn't show us a ton, mainly because Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis were ahead of him. But is this deep enough to where they could pick up a decent tight end, say, in the fourth or fifth round?
I think there's a lot of guys who I would consider in that third, fourth round range, this tight end class. But at the same time, it's like, I don't have a lot of grades higher than Sternberger last year. Like, I like Sternberger a lot coming in. He obviously was injured, put him behind the eight ball coming into it when he did finally end up in the field. That's when Graham and Mercedes Lewis. But, like, the amount of guys who I would say year one would be better than Sternberger in this class is probably only one or two guys who I would really take over Sternberger right now. So I think there's a lot of guys in that Sternberger range, but I don't think, like, compared to other positions, compared to other needs on the Packers roster, I would be pretty surprised if they ended up going tight ends, you know, first, second, third, fourth round in this draft, just because of what they already have.
Do you like Jay Sternberger? Do you think he was a good pick where they got him?
I called him a second rounder last year. I ended up obviously going the third, so I thought it was a great value. He was super productive at Texas A&M, really good after the catch. To me, the difference between him and TJ Hockenson as purely receivers, now he's not a great run blocker by any means, a little undersized, but purely receiving ability wasn't that big. Like, it was not two rounds worth of difference as far as what they could do as a receiver. I think he's got enough speed to work in the Packers offense. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Sternberger's game, even though obviously rookie year, throw it out the window at this point.
Now, the Packers, they had a decent run game this year. Jamal Williams, obviously, what Aaron Jones did. Is there another running back in this draft? Because they, you know, granted, they picked up the kid out of Notre Dame last year, but they're saying, hey, we can never have too many good running backs. Do you think that this is another draft in which a couple of good running backs, third, fourth, fifth round, might be there?
Yeah, I like the Packers approach at running back, which is like, hey, we're not going to take one for a second, third round, but every year we'll probably take one in the fourth, fifth, or sixth, or seventh. Like, we'll take a guy in day three every year and just keep rolling it in because they get hurt. And they, like, it's one of the most injured positions in the NFL, but it's also a position where you can find guys fifth, sixth, seventh round who are legitimately productive. And obviously they've seen that with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. So my favorite, if he slips to day three, Zach Moss from Utah, one of my favorite running backs in the class, do break tackles at a really high level. If they're looking for some more speed down at the bottom of the draft, maybe a guy like Levante Bellamy from Western Michigan, one of the Michigans. I'm blanking on the Michigan that he's from, but one of the directional Michigans. He's probably going to run a sub-4.3 here. Could add another element to that offense in terms of, you know, wide runs, getting him the ball in space. So those are two of my day three guys that I'd be looking at. But like I said, probably not before the fourth round would I anticipate them ever going running back.
We're sitting here, by the way, we're talking with our good buddy Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. So when you look at the draft, when it comes to wide receiving, we had already discussed whether or not there's some impact players. How much speed, because everybody's looking for speed and leaping ability. Now, they have that in Devontae Adams. They've got some guys that are pretty tall right now and they're stable, but they're looking again for speed. So the difference between a 4.3 and, say, a 4.4 or a 4.5, how big of a gap is there with some of that top talent in, say, the first 2 days?
I think the reason, so this wide receiver class is super hyped and deservedly so, and I think the reason you're going to see this week is why it's being talked about, it's just such a special class, is because the top guys are not just productive receivers, they're freak athletes. Like, these guys are going to run. Judy's going to run probably in the 4.3s. Henry Ruggs is probably going to run sub 4.3. Jalen Reagor from TCU is going to maybe break 4.3. Like, they're all the top guys, besides maybe CeeDee Lamb, are fantastic athletes and testing-wise going to be fantastic athletes for the position. So I think they're in luck. The Packers are in luck. I fully anticipate that first-round pick to be a wide receiver in this draft class, and I think they almost learned their lesson after, you know, passing on a deep receiving class last year, missing out on A.J. Brown, missing out on D.K. Metcalf, and seeing how much, like, those guys made an impact on their respective franchises year one. I don't think they're going to make that same mistake again. I think if they don't draft wide receiver first with that first round pick, it's because they traded back to get more picks and maybe draft a couple guys on, you know, in the second round. So I think ideally someone like Jalen Reagor or, you know, Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, who's also pretty freaky himself, would be the pick there at the back end of the first round.
Hey, the Packers have talked about quarterbacks, speaking of that. do you see a quarterback falling that, you know, maybe the Packers, because they've said, look, they can never have too many good quarterbacks. I can't believe they would take one early on. But can you see a quarterback falling where that would be a temptation, say, in the first or second round for the Packers?
No, I just don't see it the way they're built right now. Like, with how much they just spent in free agency, how much, you know, like where that roster is. I think it's different from back in 05 when they drafted Aaron Rodgers in terms of, like, how close they are to winning it all and, like, realizing that. So I do think that if they were to go quarterback in the first round, like, say if Jordan Love does fall to them, I fully anticipate Jordan Love to be off the board before that. I don't think he's going to make it all the way to 30. But say someone like that does fall to them, I just don't think they're going to pull the trigger because, like, one impact guy could turn you into the Super Bowl, turn you into a Super Bowl contender, your Super Bowl champion overnight with, you know, if they hit at the right position with how close they are and how talented that roster is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I can't imagine that they're going to jump in both feet with a quarterback in the first few rounds. Maybe a late round project or something to that effect. But, well, Tim Boyle, I mean, they have him in the fold right now. Tim Boyle and Manny Wilkins. I can't imagine a quarterback coming out that would fall to the fifth, sixth round that would be a better project than what they have right now. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, there are some names on day three that I could see be better than Tim Boyle. I mean, Boyle was obviously one of UDFA because he wasn't a great prospect in his own right, but he has played well on the field. I think you're always at the quarterback position, like the backup quarterback, especially, you know, with Aaron Rodgers' injury history, is a real, like, need. Like, that's a guy who might very well see the field. So I do think the more you can, say, you know, sort of throw darts at that position, even if it's not investing heavily at it each year, that you should, especially on, like I said, on day three.
Always great to talk, Mike. I certainly appreciate it. It should be an interesting draft. Before I let you go, I got to ask you, Jonathan Taylor coming out of Wisconsin, also Quintez Cephas coming out of Wisconsin. Do you see those guys first couple of days?
Yeah, I think both are. Cephas maybe day three because of how deep this wide receiver class is. But I think Jonathan Taylor's off the board before end of round two. He's going to be like 220-plus with running a 4.4 40. Like, that doesn't last long in the NFL. Size and speed gets drafted highly, and he's obviously the production to match. Like, the dude's a tough running back. So, yeah, I think both. I'm a fan of Cephas's game, too. He's going to get pushed down also because he's not the freak athlete, but he is where he wins in terms of strength and at the catch point. I think it's translatable to the NFL. So I'm a fan of both those guys' games.
Excellent. Mike, I appreciate it. As always, we'll touch base down the road as we get closer to the NFL draft as well, okay?
For sure, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. Find him at PFF_Mike, at PFF_Mike. That is on Twitter where you can find him. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Hey.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.